The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. It has been my honor and privilege to walk with Justin and Caroline and Will for the last two years. We've, as I said before, we've done our study with these two other congregations, our Father Lutheran Church and Alamance Lutheran Church. And we have studied many things in 2 years. One of the things that we've studied pretty solidly is the Bible and what it actually is. We read a lot of scripture in Sunday school and in worship, but we've been talking about the fact that the Bible is a library, not a book. And so we've also empowered ourselves by learning that Lutherans interpret scripture and read the Bible through various lenses. One is its history. When was it written? Who wrote it? To whom was he or she, but we'll never know, writing? What genre is it? Is it poetry? Is it history? Is it prophecy filled with visions and fantastical things? Is it the gospel? Is it the stories that reveal who God is in the person of Jesus? Is it a letter? If so, to whom was it written? By whom? Why? If we can figure out why the letter was being written. We have studied the fact that all of Scripture is studied through the lens of Jesus. So if you are reading a part of Scripture that sticks in your gut and you can't figure it out, you need to look at it through the lens of who God is in Jesus, the lens of grace and love and forgiveness. We have studied the fact that it's okay that parts of the Bible seem to disagree with other parts of the Bible, and that you get a lifetime to work through that understanding. We have studied the Lutheran Reformation together, somewhat of who Luther was and what Luther was doing at the time. But more importantly, what it means for us to be people of reformation, always being made new. One of the times that I can remember that was particularly stands out to me in the last 2 years of our study of being reformed, we got together and imagined new ways to serve our neighbor, ways in which we have never done it before. So one time when we met, we broke into, I can't remember if it was 3 or 4 teams, and each team sat around and wondered, what could $20 do to change the world? And we did a lot of dreaming, excuse me, and had ideas about what $20 for us was maybe just a trip to the movies, what $20 could do to change the world. Excuse me. So first we dreamed it, and then we handed each team $20. And each team had chaperones and drivers, And we went into Greensboro, and we lived out whatever they had imagined and dreamed and decided they were going to do with their $20. So one team found a homeless, pregnant woman and went grocery shopping for her. I was on that team, so I got to witness this team of middle school people walking through Food Lion saying, well, this is good for people who are pregnant. Oh, but you can't, she doesn't have any refrigeration. Well, this would be good, and this is healthy and important, and this will save, and we could get a little bit of fruit because it won't, she could eat that today and it won't spoil, but then we could get this. Thinking through, imagining what it is to be pregnant and homeless, and changing the world with $20. One team bought as much bottled water as $20 would buy and brought it to the local homeless shelter to hand out to the folks who were leaving. They had slept there that night, but in the morning when they leave, they get a bottle of water to drink and then be able to refill all day when they're out in the sun. One team went to a laundromat with some laundry detergent and however many quarters were left over after they had bought the laundry detergent from the $20 that they were given. So that team reported back to us that they ended up speaking to people that they were Spanish speakers, and our team was not Spanish speaking. So not only did they have to go and talk to a stranger and offer them something, but they had to do it with a lot of miming and saying, yes, it's actually for you, and no, we don't need anything back. That was an interesting experience. Our kids spent 2 hours that day imagining their neighbor's needs, acting in some way to alleviate some sort of need, having a holy encounter with one such neighbor or more than one, looking them in the eye and offering them help in the name of Jesus. And also, when we got back and we debriefed and talked about what they had learned, they learned something about themselves and how it felt. What role did they play in this activity, this service? Were their gifts best revealed and used in the planning time, in the discussion, or dreaming up and imagining what the world might need? Or in the shopping and the getting the best deal and making your buck stretch the farthest, or imagining and thinking about, no, you guys, she doesn't have a refrigerator, we gotta buy this or that. Where were your gifts revealed? When it was time to actually go and encounter another human being who has a need, and there are maybe 4 or 5 kids, they didn't all speak at the same time, someone likely stepped forward as the leader, at least for this part, and encountered and spoke and stumbled and realized it was Spanish and it wasn't English and did some miming, handing, yes, it's for you. So where were their gifts best used in this moment of service? We studied ourselves in that space, in that time. We have on other Sundays studied worship. The Bible tells us we were created to worship the Lord. And we studied that, but then we specifically studied Lutheran worship. We opened that red book and we said, why do we say the things that we say? And we found in the Bible where almost every word we speak and pray and sing on Sunday mornings can be found. We've learned a lot together this year, and maybe the most important thing that we learned is that God is not afraid of our questions. That this life of faith is a long-term, lifelong relationship with God. This God claimed them in each of them at an infant baptism, claimed forever. And as we learned at camp, I'm going to rest this right here. Pastor Tim at camp gave us a visual image that in your baptism, God claims you, and the sponsors, or if you're an adult, you know, you claim that too. You claim those promises. And God's grip is constant. It might be the only constant thing in your whole life. God's grip is constant. Now, your grip may very well not be constant. right? You're going to have questions and doubt. But maybe you're going to be furious at God and absolutely walk away, reject and ignore God. God's grip is constant and persistent and insists on mercy and forgiveness even when we are not being merciful or forgiving. So this affirmation of their faith today is a part of the living out of that they believe that promise, God has claimed them, and they can live inside this life of being claimed. They do not have to be perfect. They do not have to be merciful every moment of their lives for God to be merciful every moment of their lives. In the chapel at my seminary, now seminary, Emily can tell you this, is terrifying. Linda can probably tell you this too. Because the question that is always at the top of your head is, who am I to go and tell the world who Jesus is? Who am I? The whole time I was studying there, every time I worshiped in that space, I was drawn to a giant white marble tablet, I guess, behind the pulpit where the preacher stood. And what was inscribed on that is part of our text from today. It says, peace, let me get it exactly right, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And I read that every morning of chapel. I read it every Thursday night when we had the Eucharist. I never stopped reading that inscription because it answered my question, who am I to go out in the world and proclaim who Jesus is? I am filled with doubt on some days. I am filled with pride on other days. I am sinfully selfish on other days and worried about my own well-being above the well-being of my neighbor on other days. Who am I to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, here is the promise. As the Father has sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. I wasn't sending myself. I'm not standing here because I said I should. Jesus sends us to do the work of the gospel in the world. Some of us are pastors. Others of us work in other parts of the world, and we are all serving our neighbors. So, for me, a pastor, for Will and Caroline and Justin, I did not tell them to sit together so that they could parade up here together today. And look at, they are in your midst. They're Will and Caroline and Justin. So they, it's perfect that they are spread out among you. For me and for them and for each of you sitting here in a pew today, if you are sitting in your own doubt or shame or pride, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The one through whom all things were made, the one who was there at the beginning and promises to be there at the end, the one who has promised to be with us in every moment of our lives. That's the one that breathes the Spirit on us. It's a gift. He says, receive the Spirit. Receive this gift. It's the Spirit of God, and there is no doubt, there is no shame, there is no pride too big, there is no circumstance too frightening, there is no sin too looming or consuming. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you, and it empowers you to bear witness to the love of God in this world, the perfect love of God in this world, even when you and I are not perfect. I'm grateful for the ways that these three young adults have borne witness to me, the ways that they have been Christ to me. And God has every intention of continuing to use you to bless this world, to serve your neighbor and to pour yourself out for the sake of this world. We are delighted to be your family, and we are looking forward to the ways that God will use you and us to serve the world. And when I asked if there was a favorite hymn that we might use today, one of the mamas said, "Could we sing the King of Love, My Shepherd Is?" So will you please stand, turn to hymn 502, and sing with our folks.